Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dude, we were supposed to meet up in, is that Irvine?
I think Irvine, right?
Yeah. What happened to
yeah,
that?
Yeah, in the OC. My dog got sick. I know it sounds like she's my small dog. I have two dogs. I have a standard poodle and a toy poodle. And my toy poodle always gets sick. And so after she got sick again, I finally got pet insurance.
Oh, shit. So, were they actually able to give it to you? Since your dog's already sick, or are they totally cool with it?
Oh, they're cool with it, but I still had to pay for that in cash.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it takes a month for it to take into effect. But after she got sick this again, I'm like, damn. Yeah, this dog is like my toy poodle. She's like, well, she's supposed to be 10. She's 16 pounds. Maybe that's why she's always sick. It's my fault. But, dude, she saved my life, man. When I lived in Irvine, I lived in the Irvine apartments. And I was only making 70K a year. My rent was like $2,200 bucks a month at the time, 5 years ago. Yeah, dude, like I was living over my means because this is my first time making more than 20K a year, right? I'm like, I need to build my first nice apartment. Irvine Apartments, I see that everywhere. Must be a legit place to live. And then every month, I'm always negative, dude. And like, I was like, that was the time. I'll tell you this. I don't want to say it on here because it'll probably get taken down on YouTube and Spotify, but I was not in a happy place in my mind.
Right.
And if it wasn't for that dog, dude, I would not be here right now.
Damn, dude. Yeah, man. Dogs do some crazy shit to you. So I had a Maltese, much like your dog, like a little small. And she had this thing called like Addison's disease. So I had to give her like medicine and shots every like couple months. And I couldn't get health insurance because it's like a disease. And I'm like, well, we know you're going to abuse this.
Yeah.
This insurance now. So I couldn't get it. So I just had to keep like going out of pocket. I was like, ugh. But it was just like a lot of like overhead because you got to like do medicine, and then like you can't really travel. And if I do travel, I gotta make sure someone's like responsible, give her medicine
and boarding, which I don't want to do boarding. Yeah, and the medicine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part's
yeah. So like with my dog, when she gets like stressed out, that's what triggers her disease or whatever. So it's like bring her to new places,
which is when you're gone.
Yeah, dude. So like bring her new places or people coming over stresses her out. So it's like, fuck, I can't do anything.
Yeah,
but it's like, you know, it's a dog. They're part of family, right? So you can't really. Literally, you don't really compromise there. You're just like, whatever I got to do, it's fine.
Have you ever thought about it? Maybe it's just me, but have you ever thought about, damn, if I wasn't an engineer, you would probably have to die because I couldn't afford to take care of you. Like, it's hard, right? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like, thank God I'm an engineer.
If I lost my job right now and I couldn't find another job for a while, I'd be like, yo, we about to live on the streets.
Dude. Well, for people who don't know you, so you're a software engineer. You've been in tech for a minute. But as of last year, or maybe a year and a half ago, you got, not finally, but it's not like everyone, hey, welcome to Netflix. I'm not there either. But you got a job at Netflix. You're a front-end engineer, senior front-end engineer, right, at Netflix. And you live in Irvine, which is expensive, but if you work for Netflix, it's nice. I am curious to see the difference between working at Netflix and your job at Hulu. What is the difference between those two?
Honestly, like, every job is the same to me, to be honest. Like, it's a job at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, true. Okay.
Right. So it's like, I think I think culture shifted after COVID and everything went remote. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's like the only thing that's different for me is the people I see on my screen now, right? I don't really go into the office. So I don't see people in person. But like, the difference is I got a new laptop. I use maybe different software. And I just have some new personalities I gotta get adjusted to. And that's like, honestly, to me, that's really the biggest difference. But to give a more descriptive answer, I guess, is the biggest difference for me is probably, I would say culture is definitely a lot different. I think at Netflix, there's a lot less red tape for me. And we kind of have like this, we have this like culture value or whatever you call it, called freedom and responsibility. So they're just like, go do what you want to do as long as you think it's the best thing. I'm like, all right. And then I just go do it, right? So that's pretty nice. But it's the same industry, right? Hulu, Hulu was acquired by Disney. And I didn't know that when I joined. It was like happening. I was like, oh crap, I didn't know I was going to be a Disney employee or whatever.
Hold on. Hulu wasn't public. They were already public by that time though, right?
No, they were private. And then Disney acquired them, and then we switched.
I'm stopping you. So you got options before the acquisition?
So it's different. The way that Hulu had it before is we just had like cash bonuses that kind of worked as if they were like stocks, and you would basically compound them year over year based on performance. But once we got acquired by Disney and then things started getting switched over, we started getting Disney stocks. But then I left after I got like my first initial ones, and then the market crashed. Yeah. So now my stocks are worth like half the cut, like half of what I got them at. So it's like, they're just sitting there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But yeah, it was interesting. The culture between, so Hulu was great, and maybe I shouldn't say all this stuff on air, but it's like the culture at Disney, I didn't vibe with me, and it didn't like when any company gets acquired, it's never usually a good ending.
Changes.
It's never a good ending.
Changes,
right?
Happen.
So yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of turnover on the Hulu side. So a lot of people were leaving. Morale was down. Like literally everyone was just dropping like flies. Mm. So I was like, all right, maybe that's like my, maybe that's a sign for me to like go. And I was like, all right, let me just shoot my shot at Netflix. And then here we are.
Dang. And then Netflix, I mean, you work there now, right? So let's sound political. Right. I mean, sorry, what I mean political, my bad. What I mean is, you know, say good things.
Right. So, yeah.
You work at Netflix. I don't want you to lose that job. But I, you know, you're there now. So what's the biggest difference? Biggest difference from Hulu and Netflix in regards to, I get anything you want to share about that? Is it culture? Of course, right? Netflix, if you stop performing, it's like a startup. The moment you stop giving value at a startup, you lose your job like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Netflix is great because, like, the whole culture thing is amazing. The whole, like, freedom and responsibility. Like, I'm an engineer that needs full autonomy. Like, you know, I've been doing this for a while. I feel like I know what I'm doing. So I do like it when my, like, upper management trusts me to do, like, what's in the best interest of the team and company. So those are the environments I thrive in because I can basically, at least, like, for the most part, choose what I think is going to be most impactful for, like, the team and the company. And more times than not, I choose something that I'm excited about. So that's what kind of like keeps me going, right? Because at the end of the day, it's like if things get boring, you start looking, right? But it's no secret that like also Netflix pays very well. So I'm more than happy to like, that's also like a part of the picture, right? Like for most software engineers, if you don't like programming, you're in it for money, right? And if you're not in it for the money, you're probably doing it because you love it. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like right in the middle.
There are things I love, but I wouldn't do for the money, right? I love gaming. But that doesn't pay well.
Right.
To be honest, we mean a lot of engineers make more than professional gamers too, right? And so that's not something I do engineering because damn, it pays well.
Right.
And so it's true, you love it. To be honest, I don't know how, I know people who joined Netflix and didn't last more than a year, or they stayed 1 year and then left, right? Because of the pressure. I guess it depends on the team.
Right.
But you know, I was just Googling on my phone while you were talking, and the average salary for someone on Netflix is around, it says 300 to 500K a year. Thanks, ChatGPT. But I'm curious, you know, don't tell the number if you want to. It's up to you.
Right.
But from Hulu to Netflix, world of a difference in your salary? Not world of a difference.
Oh, it's like a galaxy's difference.
Oh,
it's honestly life-changing. Right. And I feel like if you talk with anyone that has that gets paid well, and also it depends on what you're making before that. It can have like very big impacts on your life. And like you said, I live in Irvine. Like I would not be, at least I wouldn't be like in this specific place I'm at now. If it wasn't for the salary. Right. And like, I do all this cause I have two kids, a wife. Right. So I want to,
and you pay state income tax, California state income tax, which is insane. Like, I make $200,000 a year on my base salary, and I wouldn't live in Irvine.
Right.
And I lived there when I was making 70K a year. That's how stupid I was with my money. Right. I'm not saying you're stupid with your money.
Dude, it's dumb expensive.
It's crazy, but it's beautiful, dude. So, all right. So Galaxy of a difference. Then are you willing to share how much you were making at Hulu then?
Hulu, TC, I think.
Total compensation.
I want to say 230-ish. On the high end? That's
TC. What was your base at Hulu?
My base was 190, I think.
Dang, that's pretty good base.
Yeah, okay. 190, but then we have like performance bonus, stock.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff, which is very nice. Yeah.
Which is nice. And then you said it's a Galaxy.
I mean, maybe that's exaggerated, but for me, it feels good.
It feels like it. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I want to go through the emotions because you know how many software engineers have Googled whatever title position they work at now at Netflix and Googled mm-hmm. how much they would receive there, right? And everyone's always wondered what it feel like to receive this, right? Unless you work at OpenAI. Mm-hmm. You get paid $500,000 to $1 million a year there. So I just want to go through this for the emotions for everyone else. And I'm curious how it went for you. You're going further and deeper into the technical interviews. Mm-hmm. You're moving to the latter stages. What's going through your mind at that moment at Netflix?
So Netflix has always been like
this can actually happen.
Yeah. So like Netflix has always been like a dream company for me. Right. And honestly, before every interview, I was like about to throw up because when I want something so bad, like I wanted this like unbelievably bad. Like I can't even explain like what it would mean if I got a job on Netflix. So I was just like, for an interview, like I'm confident in my abilities, but even beforehand, I'm just like, I can see who's going to interview me. I go like incognito, lurk through LinkedIn, see like, you know, what kind of person they are and, you know,
their experience.
Yeah,
what's
exactly.
been the craziest experience of someone who's interviewed you when you look at them on LinkedIn that made you just want to throw up even more?
Yeah, especially like because some of them have like a lot of accomplishments and a lot of like accomplishments in the open. So I'll read about them and I'm like, man, like I haven't done any of that. So it's like, how can I impress this person?
Yeah.
Like what are their standards? Right. So that's like the biggest thing that got in my mind. But at the same time, like I was very confident. I had a lot of peers that worked at Netflix. So they were kind of telling me what to expect. And, you know, they all were giving me encouragement like you're definitely good enough to work here. Like just do what you do and you'll be fine at the end of the day. And I was like, all right, cool. And to be honest, the interview was probably one of the easier interviews I've ever done. Because I don't know. I mean, it's relative, right? It's really relative to like your expertise. It's relative to your experience, right? What I liked about the Netflix one is everything was practical. There was live coding. There was a lot of technical stuff, but it's stuff I did every day. It wasn't like, here's a tricky leak code question. It's like, hey, you're this kind of engineer. I expect you to know this kind of problem because you should be doing it every day already. So for me, when I went through those things, it wasn't very difficult. But I also worked very hard before I even did the interview. I prepped, built a bunch of stuff. So I felt like very confident in my abilities. And I just had people help coaching me through each step of the way and just telling me like what things I should focus on. Like if I had to rate it like out of 5, 2, and like, which really shocked me, but again, it's all subjective, right? Like,
it
could be a 5 for somebody else. It could be a 4, it could be a 1, it could be a 0. Yeah. You just don't know. But I'm thankful that I made it through, but it didn't change how I felt during it. I was sweating, like legit, like armpits dripping during the interview. I was kind of like nodding my head around like this. Cause I was just like freaking out. I just didn't want to fumble this. Because I knew what it would mean for my family. Like, if I got it right, like I could shift my timelines up tenfold by just like paying off college, down payment for a house, savings accounts, right? Yeah. Like everything goes in fast forward. That doesn't mean I'm going to be at Netflix forever, but I can like shoot myself like 10 years ahead of my timeline and then I can go work somewhere else. Like that's fine. But now I'm like in a much better financial situation. And that's what I think about. Like it's kind of less about the money. I mean, it's all about the money, but like it's family first for me. I don't care about the salary to like floss it. I care about it to just take care of my own, you know? Like you're Filipino, right? Like growing up, like my parents, obviously I'm Filipino. My parents would always
send boxes. And your name's Chris too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's like my parents would send back clothes to the Philippines, you know, just to help my family. So I just grew up like seeing that, like my mom would always making sure family back home was like taken care of. And that's like something I kind of like took with me. It's like, I have like a sibling, you know, God forbid anything goes wrong financially with them or my parents. I make sure that I have money available if something does happen. Right. So I think about all that stuff and I just make sure I'm like in a good situation. God forbid anything happens to me or anybody else, that I have the means to support them through those times, and that's kind of like how I'm handling this.
You know, people have often left comments and said to me, messages, you name it, everywhere, if I could just make 70K a year as a software mm-hmm. engineer, I'll be happy for the rest of my life. And I'm like, that's true, because that's much more than what you're probably making now, around 20K. It's a big difference, 30K. Mm-hmm. But when you make 70K, then you think, if I could just make 100K, you get to 100K. If I could just make 150K, if I could just make 200K. But one of the reasons we think that too, and then we tend to spend more the more we make. Now I spent try to spend almost nothing except for necessities. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes I'll think, if I made 400K a year on just TC, not including my YouTube and everything else other income, mm-hmm. I can pay off my house faster, save a lot more, invest more, and have mm-hmm. Multiples of millions of more dollars later when I'm 50 or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so I tend to think like that. Or like, for example, now I'm not even worrying about JavaScript. I'm going all into machine learning. It's going to mm-hmm. take me 3 to 4 years to transition to that, because I know nothing about it, right? But then when I think about 4 or 5 years from now, when I'm making 600, 800K a year, because I dove deeper into something much more difficult than when I'm used to front end, gosh, like that's just fast, like the words you said, fast tracking. Like that's mm-hmm. something you tend to think of as you get older when you have a family, right? And so that's like pretty much what you were thinking about, you feeling like you're throwing up, going through the interview process. And so you're getting closer to that goal. You're getting closer. When did you realize that this job is going to be yours? What was that one signal or that one sign or multiple signs?
You know what? They actually said no to me right what? After, because I had a timeline. I had two offers. I had another competing offer, and I was pushing. I was like, we need to speed this up because I'm going to lose this other job. Yeah. Right. So I just kept pushing. I was like, you have till Friday to give me a decision. They didn't say anything. So I was waiting a week, email them on Friday. I was like, do you have any feedback? Cause I need to make a choice. And they were just like, are you available to talk now? And usually when I'm good at reading email and language, like there's no exclamation points, there's no enthusiasm. I'm like, I didn't get the job. Like I 100% didn't. And I didn't. And she was like, look, everyone really liked you, but we can't make a decision this fast. And I was like, time out. So do you want me to work there? And they're like, yes, everyone loved you. And I was like, so what do I got to do to work there if this team can't hire me right now? Because they already have like 3 other people in the pipeline. I mean, wow. I don't really know if those 3, but they had other people and they couldn't make a decision until all of us were done.
Yeah.
But I have this timeline. I'm like, well, I really want to work there. So what's going to happen? And then they were just like, well, look, we have this other team that's looking for someone, and they trust the team that interviewed that you're a good candidate. So how about you just have a one-on-one with this new manager? And if you like it, the job's yours. And I was like, all right.
Hold on. If you like it, the job is yours.
Like I already had a job, basically. It was just a matter if I said yes to this new position, if I liked it. In my mind, I was like, I don't even care if I hate it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, I'll get in money? And I'll just like transition if I hate it.
Even for just 1 year, that extra amount of income you can make, right?
Exactly. So yeah, that's how it happened. I met with the other manager. Luckily, they were awesome. The team's awesome. And that's where I've been since. But yeah, like it was a no because I was pushing the timeline.
Yeah.
So word of advice for people that push your timeline, just be careful.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing who the other company was?
It was Brex. It was like a fintech.
Dude, and they pay startups, a lot. Right? I was interviewing with them. This is when the peak of the salaries, right? When you're getting like five offers at once.
Yeah, exactly.
They offered 280K for DevRel, which is insane. Mm-hmm. That's 280K, and then I think up to 10% if I want 90% of that to be cash, 10% options. Mm-hmm. I forgot what it was. Right. And they pay a lot.
They have a really nice compensation package.
It's amazing, right? And so, but I can only imagine at more of an engineer level what that would have been. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was a good fallback. Wow. It was a good fallback if Netflix fell through.
Well, they had like, a ton of layoffs, too. I was stoked on
either job. Yeah, exactly. That happened like not too long ago, actually.
Yeah. They had a ton of layoffs. So, and they had layoffs at Netflix and you survived that. So congrats on that. So, okay. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the job is yours. You go through the interview process now, right? You received an offer. Okay. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? All right, let's negotiate this. Or did you just accept it right away?
So That's very interesting. So let me go back. So we went, so if we take a step back to the beginning of the interview, the recruiter asked me, what's your expectations of salary? Right. And obviously I'm the one, I'm doing research. I'm like going to levels.fyi.
Yeah.
And I see these huge numbers and like, I don't want to say it because it just sounds so outrageous to say. And I was like, whatever's good on the internet. Like I was like nervous. I just didn't want to say like these stupid big numbers because it just doesn't make sense. I'm not used to that.
Yeah. Who's used to that?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, so I was like, I just looked down. I was like, well, I saw on Levels FYI, this was a number. Like, is that reality? Like, does that seem fair? And she's like, yeah, sure. I was like, okay. So, but then when we get back, so let's fast forward to the interview, let's fast forward to the offer stage. I get the verbal offer and they say their number. And I remember I was at the playground with my son and I about passed out. Like like I almost started crying because it was just like one that I really, it was something I really wanted and I finally got it. And then two, it's like, I just knew how different it would change my life, like for the future. Right. I think one thing to keep in mind though, it's like, we're talking about big numbers. We're talking about salary. Obviously not everyone's like in this situation. But one thing is like, these things don't last forever. Right. I could get laid off tomorrow from Netflix, or maybe I may just not want to work here anymore. Right. But it's like, I think at the end of the day, it's like, be smart with your money. It's like those stories you hear of like NBA players. They're rich and then they just blow all their money and then they're just, they have no money, but they, and they're out of the NBA because they
aged out. That happens to software engineers too. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, you just like I don't think where I'm at, I mean, I'm not like the smartest person in the world. Like I don't take this for granted. Like I know this could end soon. And then I definitely don't want to interview at Google or anything. I don't want to do LeetCode or anything. So it's like, you know, it's like, I know this isn't forever. And I also favor what I work on. Like I have to be passionate about what I work on as well. So I may want to, like, I think in the future, I'm probably going to go back to a small company and just grind it out there. But yeah, like for those of you listening, like that are chasing numbers, like, sure, it's nice, but you know, stay humble and, you know, be smart with your money.
No, that's true, right? And that was me, right? Mm-hmm. And dude, doctors make 180K and they go to school for 10 mm-hmm. years. Pharmacists make 160, right. Go to school for 6 years and go 300K in debt, right? That's the nuts. People who make more than us are surgeons, all right?
It's actually crazy when I think about it. And
it's insane.
I mean, we're I would say we're definitely overpaid for sure.
Like, no, I don't say that. Please, I'm deleting that. I'm not letting you say that.
I would say a surgeon or whoever's saving lives definitely should get paid more than me. But I mean, I'm not going to be like, dox my pay.
Yeah.
I mean, increase their pay, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's when you put things, like I've had this discussion with other people before. And like, we're talking about health workers and all that. And we're just like, yeah, it's crazy. Like it just,
we don't save lives. Sense.
Like this. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, like some people code things like, you know, like some of the software you make, the doctors who use that. But yeah, I mean, it's just unreal. Like this bubble, this tech bubble we're in, it's just, for me, it just doesn't even feel like reality.
And we have, we get to work from home. Mm-hmm. Recruiters are trying to steal us all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. And we have options, even in the midst of these tech layoffs that are happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's slowed down a bit. Still have options, right?
Dude, it's like I talked to my dad. He was in the Navy, worked at the post office for 20 years. Makes a fraction.
He's so Filipino, dude. That's such a Filipino thing. Post office, military.
Yeah, exactly. My mom's like a nurse. That's the whole combo, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like I see that, and like when I told my dad my salary, he's like, "What?" He's like, "Are you serious?" I'm like, "Yeah." It's like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always like that. I wasn't always making, like, it wasn't until Netflix or like mm-hmm. recently I wasn't making like decent money. Not to saying that less than that is not decent. But yeah, it was just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful, to be honest. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just can't believe I'm here, to be honest.
And the reason I'm diving into this, and I wanted to go more into the technical parts and what it takes to do that, because what engineer hasn't, you know, thought of what it felt like because we all know what engineers make at Netflix, right? At Google, mm-hmm. but Netflix, you make more. Well, it depends, mm-hmm. of course, right? Everyone's thought of that. And just to hear your experience going through that is so amazing. Because like for me, when you said you were at the park with your son and you remember that in detail, when I received my first offer of like over of 180K at New Relic, mm-hmm. and when I received, I was making 80K before that. And mm-hmm. I remember driving home from the grocery store, received an email from New Relic, offer letter. I'm like, holy crap, what is this? I only knew what my base salary was, not the total compensation. Mm-hmm. I'm driving and I read it. I see the total compensation number and I'm crying on my way home. I go into my house. Mm-hmm. I open that door. I lock the door. Not even locked. I just closed it. I fell on the ground on my knees next to the door and I started bawling. Right. Mm-hmm. You know,
dude, man, it's crazy.
It's like it's something I hope everyone could experience, because it's just the stuff that you're told that unless you go to school and you get like you become a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. Right. No one will make that kind of money. Right. We're not meant to make that, but we are able to, and much more. Right. How has your life changed after that? Right. Like, I'm just curious, like before and after, you don't have to go super in detail. I'm just curious, like, just what big changes have you seen now in your life post, or I guess not post, you're still on Netflix, post Hulu, post Disney.
So I think the biggest thing for me is like, I'm kind of like you. I don't really splurge too much because I'm a very frugal person in general. I do have a couple of nice things, but it's like, other than that, I'll just wear, you know, Hanes t-shirt, sweatpants, and then whatever free swag I can get from a tech conference. That's like my primary outfit. Yeah. Right? That's
why you spend $900 on a ticket, or maybe more, $1,600, just so you can get free shirts to wear the rest of your life.
Yeah. I mean, well, I only go if my company pays for me to go. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I mean, like, really, it's natural for when you have, like, a bigger salary, you know, lifestyle scope creeps, right? For me, all my money went to childcare type stuff.
Well, so you both work.
So like, no, my wife's stay from home mom, but so we have two kids, but we have a nanny because my wife is always out with the toddler all day. And then obviously we need a bigger house, right? Or need a bigger place to stay to accommodate, you know, my two kids, me, et cetera. So because of like, you know, more money, I'm able to get a bigger place. I'm able to get childcare. I'm able to pay for summer camp, mm-hmm. you know, so my kid can experience more things with other kids. Right. And that's where most of my money goes. It literally goes to rent and just stuff for my kids. I don't see much of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then like groceries, because groceries are like $1,000 now for like a bag. So it's like food and childcare and like rent. Yeah. Right. So it's like all bare necessities. Like without these, you know, I mean, other than like, you know, some extra stuff for my kids for like summer camp and stuff, that's like a bonus. I'm not here buying grills, you know, I'm not getting like gold chains or anything. Yeah. So I don't see any of it. And honestly, like I invest a lot of my money. So I max out 401, max out whatever I can, invest in the market. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to like really make my money work for me.
You're thinking more long term,
right? Exactly. Dude, I'm always thinking long term, because I know I'm not going to be in this situation forever. Like, if I do, great, but I'm not going to like bank on me making Netflix salaries for the rest of my life. It's just, I don't think that's a reality, because eventually I'll get bored or I'll get laid off. One of the two probably. But if I'm here forever, that's fine. But, you know, I'm just trying to be smart. I'm not trying to set myself up to be in situations, because I'll see like on Blind or something, someone will get a job at a fan company and then they buy a house and then they get laid off and they're like, yo, I can't pay mortgage. I'm like, dude, why'd you do that?
I mean, that was me, right?
I used to be like you too, like the old way. Yeah.
When you experience like for the first time, it's like, you know, and it's really because like it's like, for example, you know, I'm gonna get canceled. I'm not gonna use that example, but but it's just when you taste it, you know. I mean, okay, for me, growing poor for so long. And then you finally get to buy whatever you want. It's just, that's what you know. And then when you buy too much, and debt, car, everything, it's so stupid. And I paid it all off recently. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's like, nah, I get mad if I spend more than half my check. Right. So I hate debt.
That's the worst.
I still use my credit card, but the moment I use my credit card, I pay it off right there.
Hey, you just pay it off. Don't pay interest.
Just pay it off. Never the pay moment interest. I use it, as I'm walking out the grocery store, I open my app and I pay it, like right there. That's literally what I do. So that makes sense. And yeah, that's awesome. So good thing you're not being like, you know, one of those NBA players or football players who throw everything away, right? Fortunately, though, for us, our right. careers can last our whole life. Hopefully.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully. Knock on wood.
So, all right. I don't want to mix all about Netflix, but I do want to ask one more thing about this. Is
yeah, sure.
What does it take then to become an engineer at Netflix? So you in particular specialize in front end. So I'm guessing Next.js, JavaScript.
It was just
or is it just full stack?
Like during my interview, I didn't even do any actual framework stuff. It's vanilla just JavaScript, right?
Vanilla was that? JavaScript.
Yeah, like, wow. I was just coming straight up like vanilla job. They just want to know about your foundations, right? And then you can like pivot and go any direction you want. But what does it take? I mean, what did you do, right?
Yeah, you're a full-time engineer at Hulu at Disney, right? You worked at Capital One. Dude, the places that rejected me. Okay, so screw you, Chris. At least one Chris has to make it. One Filipino Chris with parents who are nurses. Right, there you go. Dude. If you made it, I made it. So what did you do to actually get there? Because it's not just, all right, I have experience at before Netflix, I can get a job easily. I'm assuming you had to do a ton of leak code, right, beforehand. Or what did it
take? Yeah, so I would say leak code was a small part of it, but I grinded leak code just in case. I would say what it took for me was honestly passion. Like I passion. Just love programming, and I'm always dude honestly, wow, I'm not even kidding.
Easiest
like,
answer you can
the passion give. I had like the passion I had for just coding allowed me to just always be building things and just always staying up to date on stuff and just knowing I'm not gonna say I'm the smartest engineer. I'm definitely not, but I work very hard.
What do you mean by that? How do you work so hard?
Dude, I'm always
coming. Literally on Twitch.
And it's not because I feel like I'm forced to do it. I just do it because, so I used to have a gaming problem like you.
Thank you. Called out. Well, yeah. Fuck you too.
Well, I was actually listening to your podcast with
Trina. Oh, okay, okay.
And you guys were talking about gaming and how you're just always gaming. I used to be like that. It was really, really bad.
It can really mess up really your career or your future. Like, seriously.
Yeah. So this is what happened. Like, I only played competitive ones. Counter-Strike. I always want to be playing against people. Counter-Strike, yeah. League You're of Legends, so all Filipino. These toxic games you can think of. Yeah. So the thing is that, like, I was getting, like, so mad all the time. And my day would be ruined by these video games. And I was like, look. There's no reason for me to be feeling this way. Like, I shouldn't be mentally messed up
because of
a video game. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I just went cold turkey, and all the time I spent playing video games, I shifted that to learning programming, more programming concepts, or just building, right? And I've been doing that for, like, the past 6 years or something, maybe a little bit less. But, like, when I did that, it just shifted, like, my perspective. And, like, it didn't really have to be programming. It just had to be something other than gaming. I just happened to choose programming because I knew it was my career. I knew that I need to be up to date if I wanted to obtain the financial status that I really wanted, right? Like, I can't just be like, oh, I want to make this much money and then not work for it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Right? So it's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But it helped that I enjoyed doing it. If it was a grind, I probably wouldn't have done it. But I was just building stuff I liked. Having fun. I joined the Twitch community, met people like True and other people that love like Milky, Prime, Jordan, all these people that code online. That definitely helped me kind of keep at it and keep pushing myself, right? And that's like honestly why it's because of those people. It's probably where I am today, to be honest. Because if it wasn't for like those people coding in public and just like being able to talk to them behind the scenes and sharing struggles, sharing successes, I definitely wouldn't have even tried to work at Netflix. Cause like, honestly, I didn't know you could make that much money until I started watching people code on Twitch. And then they were talking about their salaries on stream. And I was like, you can actually make that much. Like I was like dumbfounded and I was like, all right. And then that gave me enough confidence to go for it. So yeah,
that's awesome. That's amazing. It's insane that we get to be in a position we're in today. Right. 100%. Talking about gaming real quick, just rolling that back. My experience was I was always angry. when I was driving, road rage like crazy, get irritated over the tiniest things, not sleeping because I stay up so late playing games, waking up for work, not getting enough sleep. And my fiance now, who I'm going to marry in a couple months, she was with me when and I've lost like 40 pounds already. But she was with me when I was
I've been seeing the progress.
I'm like, she must love me because she was with me when I was fat. Right, I'm still.
I mean, it's totally fine. Even if you were,
well,
I wouldn't
be alive for much longer though. Right, so she was with me when I was super unhealthy, when I had all these anger problems because of gaming. And then she told me this. We talk about this all the time. And she told me the moment you stop gaming, you seem like a totally different person. You don't get angry because you can't find your AirPods. You don't get, you know, or you can't find your, it's crazy, your wallet. And I just calmed. I'm super calm. Now that rather than gaming all day, right? Sometimes during work hours, sometimes, right? Now I work out during the day. I actually make time to cook, grocery, buy my, right? It's crazy how, for me personally, and it would look like it happened to you, removing that huge distraction, that doesn't help you. Right, that really doesn't help you. That actually could hurt your career or your health, you know, your mental health. That it's crazy how much a life can change after moving that. And so you're the first person I spoke to finally that shared something like that, because it's true. Like it can hold you back, right? And so I always tell people, they want to get into tech, you need to remove any distractions. And when I bring up gaming, people are always, no, I can't. I mean, it's their choice.
Right,
it's their choice. Exactly. Some people can do it, some people can't. I can't do it, right? So then if someone wants to make it to FANG, or let's say Netflix, right? If you want to join Netflix as an engineer, what do you need to do, right? And I asked Milky about, dude, Milky, by the way, is a whole nother level. Machine learning engineer. Jeez, he's the lead machine learning engineer at Twitch, which is insane within itself. If you were to do this then yourself, right? If you were to start over, let's say you've been learning JavaScript for 6 months, or you had a 1 year experience as a junior JavaScript developer, maybe mid level.
Right.
Say Capital One. Oh, you were senior at Capital One too? Damn. All right.
I'm old. I'm older than you, man.
No, you're not. How old are you?
38. I only found that out because you said your age on the podcast, but sure, I think that's how I knew I was older than you.
You're 1985? 85? Yeah. Damn. You're 2 years older than me? Bro, I was Filipino. Well, you look young. I don't look. Hopefully, I look younger. Bro, dude, Asians, dude. All right. So, queer Chris. if you were to start over right now to get a job at Netflix, what would you do? And be realistic, right? No degree. You have a degree, whatever, not in computer science, you name it. What would you do to get a job? What would be realistic? 2 years? Or just self-studying? Of course, you want to try to get a job beforehand. Of course, right? They only hire seniors, so you need.
Well, not anymore. Already. So we have levels at Netflix now. So
you have juniors.
So we have new grads. So there's like new grad. So we have like new grads, mid. So like seniors L5. We start at L3, all the way up to like L7. I think. So that just happened last year.
And I need to start applying to this.
So check that out.
For hey Siri, remind me to apply to Netflix. Cool.
Yeah. So it's different now, yeah. Like we felt like it used to be senior only. So when I applied, it was senior only, which was just super intimidating.
And so there are juniors now.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So junior position, what would you do? And you've interviewed for that position already? You've interviewed people trying to get a junior position?
So this is the thing I don't know, because since levels are so new, I still don't even know the expectations. Like I don't work directly with any juniors at the moment, so I don't even know. So I have worked with a mid level that was on a sister team of mine, and they were insane. I was like, yeah, take my job. You're like a competitive programmer or whatever. And
competitive
like,
programmer?
Yeah, they do like the competitive leak code or whatever. I'm like, is this what L4s are right now? I was like, I think I need to get demoted or something. but seriously, it's like outside of levels, even outside of just thing, and I think just in a job in general, what I would do is like it's different now, right? Like the tech bubble kind of like popped like last year or whatever when all the stock kind of tanked, right? You were there. We're all there. We've seen it. All the layoffs. It's different. Like so many people with a lot of experience are laid off. Yeah. And now you're competing with those people, right? If they can't find a job that meets their salary requirements, they're going to, you know,
they have to drop down,
right? It's like, would you rather make $0 or some dollars, right? So it's like something you got to think about, especially now because we're all remote. You're no longer competing locally. You're competing with time zones. You're competing with the world, potentially. With
people who can take lesser salaries than you.
Exactly, exactly. So it's like the whole thing has just been like evolving. And now it's like, man, now you just really have to stand out, I think, in my opinion. So for me, if I was going to do this, honestly, something I always preach is like open source or just building in general, right? So it's like you can be acknowledged by your open source contributions. And I've seen it so many times. People just get companies reached out because these companies will be using their libraries internally. And they're like, they'll look at the contributor list.
Yeah.
And they'll literally just email every single one of them and be like, we love your tool. Whoa. What would you think about coming on board with us and helping us like use your tool internally or something, right? Wow. And then I've seen people who just build stuff, and if it pops off, they're like, yo, we saw your product, like on Product Hunt or on Twitter or what have you, LinkedIn. Yeah. And like, that's impressive. Like, we're trying to build something similar. Do you want to come on board and share what you learned?
Yeah.
So it's like, those are like, in my opinion, some of the best ways right now to do it. Because you'll see a lot of people saying like, make a portfolio site, et cetera. But what's on your portfolio? Like, do you have anything to put on it?
Like what everyone else has from Udemy, from...
Yeah,
everyone
has the
same portfolio.
Like I still think it's good advice, but everyone's doing that. So you, like, how do you even differentiate it? So it comes down to like, what are you building? Are you building something that's awesome? Or are you building a to-do list from the tutorial you saw? So like, if I looked at your portfolio site and it's just all 4 cookie cutter projects, I can't differentiate from the next person that has the exact same portfolio, right? Yeah. Yeah. That doesn't mean I won't give you the job. Like, you could still outshine them in an actual interview.
So then
but if someone pops up, yeah.
What kind of things would you work on then? Like, what kind of open source projects would you try to contribute to? Right? Is it just anything?
See, this is like a whole other topic because it's one, I would not advise people to force themselves to do open source unless it was like a project they were actually really into and they want to contribute to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like, I mean, it's possible, but it's going to feel like a grind for you. So it's like, take a tool that you use day to day that you love and see how you can help there. Right. It's like, oh man, I love Bootstrap or I love some library, right? Like, let me go see what their community is about and see if I can help with docs, see if I can help. And then like slowly move up to actual code contributions, all those things. Right. Cause the thing is like the cool thing about open source is you get to work with people you would never normally work with at your day job or in general. Right. Yeah. Like, I work with people from like Europe all the time because of open source. Like, I don't get to do that in my day job. So I get to like, one, just see culture differences, see how they work. Also, they're just like insanely talented. So I get to just get wisdom from them. So it's great. Like, even outside of just getting a job, like, sure, open source is a way to get a job, but open source is also a way to just like get better as an engineer.
Yeah.
Right. Which will naturally, hopefully, get you to a job. Right. Because in my opinion, now you need to be even better than you were before. Like the standards I feel like are getting higher because of so much competition,
so much talent right now, right?
Yeah, it's insane. So one thing I will say is it's really tough for juniors because there's a lot of them.
Harder than ever right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. But like I will say for seniors, it's a good market because good seniors are hard to find, dude. Right?
Yeah.
So like, from my end, like, I think it's definitely tougher still to get a job at the senior plus level. Like, I'm not saying it's those jobs just came out of nowhere. Like, it's definitely slimmer because obviously financial conditions. But, you know, if you're good, you'll find something 100%. So it's like, if you think you're good, when you put in the work, there's no doubt in my mind that you'll get something. Obviously, luck, timing is all a factor, right? Because maybe someone applied right before you did and they got an interview right before you showed up and they were just good enough. You could have been better, but they were just good enough, and you know, and you just miss out, right? So I could talk about this stuff these topics are deep.
Welcome to the podcast. Right. I don't prepare any questions either. I'm actually about to interview the head of DevRel at OpenAI.
Ooh, nice.
With Logan Kirkpatrick, and he's like, can you email me some questions you want to ask for the interview, the podcast interview? I'm like, sure. I have no idea what I want to ask him. It's all just a conversation. But So one
those
thing
are the best ones though.
I mean, it's fun, right? When it's not fully mm-hmm. prepared. I mean, even for Milky, I wrote a couple questions. I didn't ask any of them, right? So one thing I noticed you're bringing up a lot is, what did you say? You don't want it to feel. You don't want it to feel like a grind.
Yeah.
Which is so important because that's what I learned about myself and why I burnt out. When I feel, mm-hmm. and that's what I felt like what happened with True. It was always a grind mm-hmm. for her because, I mean, yeah, you know, it's not easy, right? And mm-hmm. and I think what's great about True is that you found a way where it doesn't feel like you have to do it, mm-hmm. right? When you're just casually doing it for fun and just learning that way, right?
Exactly.
I think that's really important because that's actually what I... So I was a front-end developer for the longest time. I dove into the back-end world. I hated it. It was a mm-hmm. grind for me the last 3 years from New Relic to all these other companies, Airbyte, are all back in data engineering now. So mm-hmm. what I'm doing now just for fun on the side is really trying to get better at SQL, Python, and really diving into the AI space. So just ML, right. Not because I want to be an ML engineer, but just I just want to learn it, and we'll see what happens there,
right?
Maybe when I speak with Logan from OpenAI, hey, what's up, dude? You want someone to, you looking for another DevRel engineer?
It's your job interview.
Dude, I don't know, no comment. I hope everybody doesn't watch this. Right? But you bring that up a lot, though, that makes, you know, don't do this or else it'll feel like a grind. Don't just contribute to open source just to do it or because then it'll feel like a grind. Why do you say that so much?
Because no one wants to grind. It's like, yeah. If you're an MMO, right? I know you said you played WoW. Like, I wasn't a WoW player, but all my friends were, and they were just like,
were they Asian too?
Grinding stuff. No, but yeah, I mean, like, do you like doing anything you don't want to do? No, no one does, right? Like when I was grinding leak code, I was like, it was miserable. Like, I hated it, but it doesn't mean I had to do it because it was just in the best interest of my career, right? Like I knew the
dividends. There are times you have to grind. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'll say this. I'm fortunate that I actually love coding, right? It's because of that. It's because of that. This doesn't feel like a grind, right? But I didn't always love coding. I actually didn't. But very early in my career, I actually did not even.
For how long in your career did you not enjoy coding? Because you went into tech. Damn, bro, you are old.
2009, bro.
I'm still scrolling down your resume, and it's been like 5 minutes already. I'm still scrolling down. So,
dude, 2009.
How long then? Yeah, 2009. You were a program analyst. So, how long did you not enjoy coding then? So, I'm guessing it's until you started diving into JavaScript.
Yeah, exactly. So, backend was okay for me. It was kind of boring. But then once I sat next to a front end engineer at a web agency and seeing all the pretty things he was making, it was at that moment I was like, dude, they were just like doing some crazy, like this is like way back in the day, but they're doing like web players and stuff, like almost like a Spotify kind of thing. And I was like, whoa, this is nuts. Yeah. So I started like talking to them all the time. And I was like, I think I want to switch to this. And I was like sitting across from them, I was doing Java full time. I was like, what am I doing? So yeah, after that, like I was like probably 2013 or so. It was at that moment, it was like the passion just went. Before then, I was just playing video games. Like I was just clocking in and out, like didn't even think about programming. Once 5 o'clock hit, done, right? And then once I did this JavaScript thing, I was like, I got like consumed by it. It was weird. I can't even explain it, to be honest. But yeah, once I discovered that, I just started going hard ever since. And then thank God, I guess, because now here I am.
So you were in tech since 2009. So that means until 2018 is for 9 years, you didn't enjoy coding because that's when you got your first, well, you were a senior front-end developer at mm-hmm. Capital One. So for how long would you say for a 9-to-5 job, like you did it because you had to, but then for how long did you not enjoy it? How many years would you say until you changed the trajectory of your career?
Probably like a good 7.
Damn.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a job, right? It's like you have to have a job. Like, wow. Like what else am I gonna do, right? It's like this was relatively easy for a job for like the decent amount of money I was making. I was like, okay, it's just work, clock in a 9-to-5 and then go play video games, right? And then sometimes I play video games during work. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it was like very flexible, and it also helped that I was good friends with all my coworkers too. So that's like a big factor.
That's right? Huge. That's huge.
But yeah, but I would say like it's because that I started liking programming, it allowed me to get better at it. I was definitely just like, you know, very flat, just going through the motions. And if I had to learn something new, I will, just so I can do my job. But I was never actively being like you're going like the AI route, right? I was never like, oh, how can I get better? I was just like, dude, how can I just keep my job? All right, give me a ticket.
Yeah, that's, you know what that's
I mean? Just a code monkey, literally, just punching the keyboard.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing, man. That's so relatable because, yo, like being a front engineer is my baby, mm-hmm. right? It's my first love for 5 years, and then I cheated on her and went back in. Right? Went back in. Oh. Ooh. Oh, that, okay, you know what I mean. Right. Oh my. But the thing is, like, yo, observability at New Relic was boring as hell. Data engineering is just not me. I had to learn it. I had to onboard for 6 months to learn data engineering. I still don't know it. I mean, I know enough to create content and talk to people, right? Give talks at these big conferences. But I didn't fall in love with it. And so it was a grind, to be honest, these last 3 years. Even though I've been making more money than I did in 3 years, right? Than I did my first 5 years in tech, all 5 years combined. Right. So, but like, so what I'm doing differently now is just like, again, like now moving more into AI and just for fun, like I kind of feel like I found my love again, and it's not front end, surprisingly, right? Like it's actually really fun, something I can really see myself going to in my career. And I think that's a really good point that you mentioned. It's really how do you make it not a grind, right? How, you know, you didn't love it at first and you started building something else. You like making pretty things, right? You like making things pretty, I guess. And so you fell in love with that. And so being able to find something you really enjoy, and something True mentioned, I'm sure you heard that in the interview, was her biggest regret, which I asked her right off the bat, what was the biggest regret? And she said, joining a company only for the money.
Right. I mean, it's natural. Now, it's
you would have joined Netflix either way. It's natural. Right? Yeah. It's natural, but I mean, which makes sense. But have you felt that too? Like, damn, I shouldn't have joined this company.
Surprisingly, no. I'm usually mindful of what I'm going to be doing because I think very early in my career, I realized how miserable I was if I didn't like what I was working on. And I know that no amount of money would make me make that feeling go away, right? Maybe like the first paycheck, I'm like, yeah. And then the next week I'll probably be depressed and be like, this work sucks. Yeah. And I've experienced that even before I entered tech. Like I used to grind jobs and just like, oh, $3 more an hour? Let's go do it. But it sucked, right? That's why I made more money. So I think it was like because of like getting exposed to being miserable early, no matter like how much I got paid, I was able to be like, okay, I know those feelings. I know what being miserable is like. And I was like, and I don't want that. So unless it was astronomical, even if it was, probably not. But yeah, I'm always mindful. I'm like, I always ask, like, what would I be working on? What kind of stuff? And then the people are always important. Like I have to hit it off with the people because the work and the people is what makes my job fun, or like more fun, I guess. So those are very important to me. So I won't join if it's just like something not interesting at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. And to be honest, I've never been like that. Right. For me, I think, number one, so I was putting my phone on silent. So like for me, I mean, for me, it's different. I support my parents, right? My fiance, my freaking two dogs who eat a lot. Oh my God. And then myself. Right. And so for me, it was always, how do I make the most money? And that comes first before my own happiness. Right. And unfortunately that destroyed my mental health. But again, like it's kind of the immigrant mindset. I'm not an immigrant, but you get that from your parents. You do whatever it takes to make sure you take care of your family. So, but now, like here on out, that is a number one goal.
Right.
Like I don't want to say I could be happy with 200K for the rest of my life. I'd like it to go up. Right. Well, if we get acquired, that'd be great. I did some math with bar.google.com earlier. And damn, if we get acquired for $7.5 billion, bro, I can hire you. Right. Man. Oh, gosh. But yeah, yo, finding that, like, that's definitely my goal here right now, is just finding something I'd enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And dude, doing these podcasts kind of destroys my channel because it's different. They used to just 10-minute talking head videos, not 1 hour, right. hour and a half videos. But, yo, I love doing this. I get to meet more people, and I think I'm good at this, so hopefully I can get better at it.
Yeah, I think the conversations are always... That's, like, the best part, just the natural conversations mm-hmm. that happen out of these things, right?
Yeah, it's not like CBS, right? When you finish answering my next question, right, my question, I go pop up with another one rather than really, right. you know.
Exactly.
It doesn't feel like a conversation. So then... Well, I know we're out of time here, but I want to ask you one last thing. I think it's very important. All right. If it wasn't for coding, right, what would you be doing right now? What would your life be? Would you have met your wife? Would you be married?
Oh, yeah, for
so
sure.
So many deep questions.
Yeah, so I met my wife way before I was, like, an actual programmer.
Damn, so she loved you. That's good.
Yeah, we were, like, living in the hood. It was... Yeah.
Yo, hold on. Forget that last question I asked you. That must be amazing, though, to be able to treat her. Sorry, it's just my fiance, dude. She's dirt poor mm-hmm. in the Philippines. She's in the Philippines, mm-hmm. and when I say dirt poor, it's not. It's literally like they had no walls.
Oh shit!
There were holes in the house where, like, literally, like, what do you call stray cats and dogs could come in. They can't stop mm-hmm. them. You know what I mean? Like, and so to bring her, you know, to give her a better life is, like, so, it's, I love it. I'm excited. Actually, I know this is super random. I actually tested her to see if she wanted to date me only for my money. I brought her to a Louis Vuitton store. Bro, you got to do these tests,
your trust
right?
test? Oh, my God.
Yeah, there you go, bro. I brought her to a Louis Vuitton store in the Philippines, Greenbelt, in Makati, Philippines.
Oh, my God.
Right? I flew with her business class and stuff. There's no first class. And then I told her, hey, what bag do you want? She got so mad at me. We went in the store. She's like, why is everything so expensive? $6,000. So 6,000 times 50. It's a lot.
She's exactly right? Like my wife. Pesos. My wife's like, this is stupid.
Dude.
she cares nothing about material stuff.
It's hard though. Like, dude, you don't know what a girl's like, right? But she got mad at me. She looked so stressed out. Her face was turning red. She walked out. She's like, you can go shopping there. I don't want to be in that store. Mm-hmm. It stresses me out. Can we just go to, like, you know, one of the cheaper stores? Yeah. And right then and there, I'm like, damn, I'm lucky.
Yeah. That's exactly what it's like for me. And, like, so, like, my parents worked really hard. So we grew up, like, relatively, like, comfortable and stuff. But I didn't want to, like, rely on that. So, like, I moved out as soon as I could. And I wasn't making a lot of money. So I could only rent out what I could rent out. You know what I mean?
The ghetto.
but yeah, we were like living in some sus areas. But yeah, I can't
Bellflower?
Say what?
Bellflower?
Nah. What is Bellflower exactly?
Bellflower is in you know about Bellflower. It's near, like, La Palma, Cerritos area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was renting a bedroom there, and the person who owned the house got robbed right in front of our house by gunpoint.
Jeez.
Dude, we were next to a rehab center, literally in the same, like we, this is our driveway,
mm-hmm.
and the rehab center is right across from us. Like, we share the same driveway with them.
You live in Virginia too, right?
Yeah, I live in Virginia also.
Where were you in Virginia?
I live everywhere, bro. I was in the Tri-City area. It's called, like, there's, like, a place called Bristol, Kingsport. It's the border of Virginia and Tennessee.
Oh, so you're, like, on the west side then.
Bro, I don't know. It felt like the south, bro. I would go into a grocery store.
You're, like, the places I don't go.
I would go into a grocery store, and people would stare at me, and I'm like, where did this Mexican come from? I'm not Mexican, I'm Filipino, right?
Dude, right? Yeah, because when I drive from, like, Norfolk crazy. Or Fairfax, like DC Norfolk, area, yeah. and we go through those areas to go, you know, go to the west side or anywhere west, I'm always terrified.
Dude.
When I go around those parts, I'm like,
he stared at me like, what am I doing there?
Yeah, dude, that's not place for this podcast, but yeah, dude, I don't feel safe in a lot of those areas.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. But so how is it then, right? Like, from with your wife,
mm-hmm.
the upbringing of you together, of where you were not making the best money, not living in the best conditions. And by the way, she stuck with you that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So take care of her well, man. It's hard to find people like that, to be honest. So how does that feel? To be able, and just seeing that from where you guys were, right, where she was, the life you're able to give her, and then now, right, the life that you're able to give both yourselves now, how does that feel, man?
Yeah, I mean, it feels amazing, right? Like, I think one of the best feelings is being able to provide for your family, right? And that's something I never really had perspective on until I had kids, and I was like, ooh. Oh, so this is what it's like like making sure, like, is this how my parents felt when they wanted to make sure I had everything I needed, whether they could afford it or not? Now it's like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, this is what it's like to make sure you can provide the best future for your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like literally my only mindset outside of like my own selfish reasons of like, you know, I want to be the best engineer I can. I want to see how far I can take this. But yeah, like nothing can describe the feeling. And I hope everyone can experience this, just being able to provide, whether it's your family or friend or anybody, like having the financial means to do so is, it's like the biggest privilege, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I think you asked me like, what would I be if I wasn't an engineer?
Yes.
Before I was an engineer, I was a full-time photographer. So before I moved to the West Coast, I was working on a coffee book for like landscapes and stuff. But that's probably what I think I would go full-time photography. I was like really into it.
Wow.
I went pretty hard for like 4 or 5 years. And then I graduated from college. It was basically paying my rent while I was in school. Just paying it with wedding photography and stuff. So I'll probably go back to that.
That's so interesting because your degree has nothing to do with coding. It's computer engineering. So hardware, I'm assuming.
Dude, it's like I have a business degree.
You have a business degree?
It's like business and information systems.
Jeez.
So most of my classes are just like generic like business classes. I think I had like two programming classes. No, I didn't even do boot camp.
What's General Assembly then?
One of my jobs paid for me to just, we just had like a tuition thing we could spend. And they're like, do you want to just go spend it on something? And I took a UX class. That's like legit.
Was that your transition into?
No, not even. I just like spent the money. They're like either use it or lose it. And I was like, all right. I'm like, I don't even know what UX is.
Hold on. This whole time I thought you had a degree. Like a computer science degree or something. Nah, I just assumed it.
Hell no.
So you just went into software engineering, self-taught, 2009, when it wasn't popular, by the way. This was software engineering was not popular.
I got back in the day. I think I got a C in one of my programs. I think I did like one programming class and I like basically failed it.
Bro, that's
I never wanted to be a programmer. I told you, I didn't care. I just wanted to be a professional video game player.
And you just, all right, what Filipino dude didn't, right?
Right.
That is amazing, man. Yo, it's so amazing to see your career, right? Like I know you're cool like with Chow, right? You know Chow, right?
Yeah, he's a homie.
Yeah, I keep telling everyone he's friends with Little Tree already. Told you I got him the job at my company. So every time you see him, to remind him to treat me to dinner every single time we meet up.
Like, oh, you're Chris Sean's friend, right?
Chow's amazing. I love that dude. He's gonna move here to Vegas actually. So I told him to live with me so he can he could train me for $1 an hour in my home gym.
That's what's up, dude.
No, but yeah, he's gonna move here. So it's cool, man. I'm so happy with it. You know what's interesting though? Everyone I've been interviewing seems to know each other. It's interesting.
The tech bubble is small, especially if you field it from tech Twitter. Right. Like you think about like tech Twitter is like a grain of sand in the grand scheme of things. Right.
Yeah.
And especially if you dip into the tech Twitch, like tech Twitch is smaller. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So True, Melky, me, like I've known them since I started my Twitch journey. First day almost.
That's amazing.
Back in 2020.
And then you've all grown your Twitch communities. I should have kept going. Damn.
I mean,
why'd I stop?
It's crazy because, like Melky was just trying to be a programmer and then now he's at Twitch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then True was working, then she got the Discord thing. She was at Square, I think, at the time.
Square, yeah. She was at Uber. Jeez.
And then I was just a random person on the internet.
Yeah. But your following on Twitter has blown up, dude. Is it literally just your memes?
Like what the heck? I think it was. I don't even really know what happened. I don't know. It was like 3 months. There was a time where a couple months were just, I don't know if they're bots or what, but everything just started happening. I spoke at Next.js Conf, and then that kind of helped it too. And then it helps that I'm just like friends with like True and Prime and Melky. It's kind of like this circle, right? Yeah. So it's like you kind of like the friends group.
It's the crew.
Kind of know what the friend group is.
It's the
and then
crew.
They kind of just like,
yeah,
follow all of them, I guess. But yeah, It's weird, man. I never thought, I don't consider myself like a content creator. I just do it because I just like talking to people, but I don't like live and die by numbers or anything. If I don't want to upload, I won't. Mm-hmm. I'll do it only when I want to.
You really don't grind in anything. You just do everything only because you love it.
It's not worth it, dude. Like I've been down that road. Like I don't, I've seen, like I'm friends with a lot of content creators. They live and die by numbers. And I'm just like, you gotta stop. But if it's your living, I get it. But if it's like your side gig, then it's like, I get like you want this, but if at what cost, you know? And I'm not going to ditch it. Like if the people are going to be, you know, influencer or whatever, good for you. Yeah. But it's like, I'm just in a different point in my life and I don't want to be like in those, like, I'm not going to say I ever get down. I definitely do, but I'm trying to always like be above water as much as I can. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I always try to like, to anyone I talk to behind the scenes, I'm just like, dude, like it's clearly not making you happy, whether it's leak code, content creation, people talking to you on Twitter, like delete Twitter, like others, people like bothering you. Like, so for me, it's like anything that's negative, I don't mess with it.
So I legit don't.
Like I meme on Twitter and I talk trash. It's all like fun.
Yeah.
But I don't do anything seriously. And like, I don't judge people. Right. Mm-hmm. Or at least publicly. I was kidding. But yeah, just anything
Filipina.
Negative, anything negative. I just try to, anything that doesn't make me feel good, I just don't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree, man. You know, it's for YouTube with me, I used to live and die by YouTube. Mm-hmm. If a video performs well, I'm happy as hell. Mm-hmm. When a video would bomb, and a lot of them did, dude, my happiness would go down the drain, right? And so,
yeah, man, it sucks, dude. It sucks.
It really does.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but like, I just like, you know, you be careful. Everyone else that's like doing something similar, be careful. I get the grind, right? Understand. Mm-hmm. You have to put in the work. There's gonna be ups and downs. But, you know, it's, I don't know, man.
I know we're about to end this, but I'm very competitive. And I'm curious, compared to the other podcast interviews you've done, I'm curious, who asked the better questions?
I don't know. I mean, damn, to be honest, I haven't done many.
Oh, it was only Back in Banter with my homie. Okay.
So I did Back in Banter, but I'm also a host on Pod Rocket, and I host for them. But ours is more curated discussions than there are like free form, right? Like I don't, I kind of just like do the research and then I have some questions, etc. But yeah, I mean, like you and Lane were like very similar, like just very, it went on for, me and him talked for a long time because there's no structure, right?
Yeah.
So it's like when you have topics like this and it's just like fun conversation, it's like, I mean, you could just be drinking a beer right now. Or
literally.
Like, I could talk to you for like 5 hours straight.
Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty much the same vibes I get from you and him. And like, if I ever do any more podcasts, I did one with like Dax and Adam.dev and it was very similar. No curriculum or agenda.
Yeah.
You just show up and just hang out. You know what I mean?
Could you hook me up and try to get Prime on this, in this podcast too?
Prime.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
Boom, I'm clipping this and sending it to him. No, for sure, dude. But yeah, I don't want to take up too much of your time. But Chris, seriously, trash, you freaking piece of trash. Dude, I appreciate you making time for this, man.
Dude, it was fun, man. This was awesome.